Welcome to Calvary Online. I'm Stacy, one of the pastors here, and I'm so glad you're joining us. Whether you're in California or the Carolinas, you're in Happy Valley or halfway around the world, thanks for taking the time. We're in week 6 of a teaching series called Breathe Deeply. Now, I hope this series has been as meaningful to you as it has been to me. We've heard some really solid teaching about the life that God has for each of us. Dan's laid a good foundation for us, talking about the internal work that the Lord wants to do in each one of us and the means by which He accomplishes that work. We've learned about how we can actually have life in God through faith in Jesus. In fact, our life in God starts there. There is no life apart from Jesus. So if you've never asked Jesus to make you new, to forgive your sins and give you the life that He created you to live, well, that's where you start. And I'd encourage you to start right there. Dan also talked about some foundational topics like worship, a daily rhythm of breathing in the Word of God and breathing out prayer, about being filled with the Holy Spirit, a need for stillness in our day-to-day so that we have space to breathe. And those are all internal pieces, work that the Lord wants to do in us. And today we're going to take a shift. We're going to take the focus from internal to external. We're going to explore the idea of being a breath of fresh air. We're going to go from breathing deeply to being a breath of fresh air for the other people around us. So as we get started, let's take a moment to stop, to be still, to ask God to speak to us, to breathe. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thanks for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thanks for drawing us to life, for giving us your breath. Holy Spirit, we invite you right now to speak to each one of us. Every one of us has different set of needs, and you know what those are. So would you address them? Would you help us to see what the next step is for us? What do you want us to hear from you today? We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. So a breath of fresh air. You know what I mean by that, don't you? And we've all experienced this, right? So let's get started by thinking about someone who's been a breath of fresh air for us. And we've all been encouraged by someone. So who's been a breath of fresh air for you? If you're watching this with others, take a minute right now just to tell the people around you, who'd you think of? And if you're by yourself, you can put the name of that person in the chat or write it down in your notes. It would be a great idea to drop that person a note of thanks this week. That would mean a lot to them. Who encourages you? Who are the people that you love to be around because they lift you up, because of the way they make you feel? This week, a lady named Sandy Bowen hit me with some encouragement. Now, I've never even met Sandy, but hi, Sandy. She's a part of Calvary Online, and over the last few months, she's sent me encouraging notes. She prays for me and my family. This week, she actually went a little bit further, and she dropped a little gift in the mail, something for me and something for Kim, and she wrote this sweet note to go with it. She noticed that I wear something orange all the time. There it is. And she took the time to let us know that she was praying for us. That kind of thoughtfulness touches my heart. You can be like that. You can send me a note. No, I don't mean that. In fact, we should all be like that. Jesus calls his followers, those of us who are apprenticing his way of life, those of us who are learning how to live from him. Well, Jesus calls us all to be a breath of fresh air for the folks around us. You might never know who needs a bit of encouragement because it's not always obvious when folks are struggling to catch their breath. But if you want to be the kind of person that others want to be around, if you want to be a breath of fresh air for the folks around you, there are a couple of things that you need to know and do. Knowing and doing. Two sides of the same coin. They're inseparable, really, and they work together. In all of our growth and development, we find these parallel tracks of being and doing. Now, in order for us to be a breath of fresh air, a few things have to happen, And they involve both tracks, the track of being and the track of doing. And I already mentioned that over the past few weeks, Dan's given us a great foundation of the internal work. That's the being track. This internal work that God wants to do in each one of us. Things that we all need. And these are the kind of things that we can't do for ourselves. It's kind of like the soil that's been cultivated by the farmer and is now ready to receive the seed that's going to lead to a good harvest. If you've missed any of the previous weeks of this series, I really think that it would be good for you to go back, take the time to listen to them. But let me highlight a couple of ideas today, things that you may have already heard. In order for us to be a breath of fresh air, we've got to let God do the internal work. If you want to help other people, you have to have something to offer them. And maybe it'll help you to think about it this way. You remember the last flight that you took, the last time you were on an airplane, and the last safety talk that you ignored. In the unlikely event of a sudden loss of cabin pressure, oxygen masks will drop down from the panel above your head. Please secure your own mask before helping others. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but I think these ideas are worth repeating, worth touching again. Ways that we can breathe deeply so that we have that breath of fresh air to offer others. So first, you've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul wrote about this idea multiple times in his letters to the young churches that he was teaching to apprentice the life and ways of Jesus. He told the church in Galatia that it would be obvious when the Spirit filled them because they'd see fruit in their lives. I pray this prayer with my three little kids every night that we'd be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, and they can rattle them off. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the character qualities of Jesus. They describe the life of someone who has been, is being transformed by the presence and power of Jesus. Paul would tell the church at Ephesus that not only would they need to be filled with the Spirit, but they'd have to keep coming back to that Spirit, back to God, to continually be filled. That's the word he used, be continually filled with the Spirit. We have to be continually filled because we leak. So it's not a pray the prayer once and you're done kind of thing. It's a continual refilling, a refreshing, a renewal by the Spirit of God. We also need a regular rhythm of word and prayer. Dan described this as breathing in and breathing out. Which one's more important, studying the Bible or prayer? Yes, both. That's why we created this Jesus Apprentice card. And if you need one of these, shoot me an email. We'll get you one of these. This helps you study the Word of God and pray about what you're encountering. We want to listen to the Word, to the voice of the Spirit. We want to learn what God's teaching us about Himself, about ourselves, and we want to lean in. Listen, learn, and lean. We want to lean in to obey, to put into practice the things that we're hearing God say. So be filled with the Holy Spirit, a regular rhythm of Word and prayer. And the third piece that I want to highlight is worship. Now, I love corporate worship, getting together with God's people to focus on God's greatness. And I think most of you do too. When we think about worship, what do we usually think about? Singing, right? Well, true worship is more than just singing, but it certainly includes singing. Worship takes many forms and includes many other activities, but at its core, worship is us declaring God's greatness. It's us loving God with all of our heart, all of our soul and mind and strength. It's us living out this declaration that Jesus is Lord in our day-to-day lives. Not just once a week on a Sunday morning. It's a right understanding of who God is and a submission and surrender of our will and our ways to His. All of these three things, and there's more there, but all of these three are internal. The breathing in, that track of being that leads to transformation. You probably know this, but I just want to remind you that transformation's a process. And some of the changes that you want to see, some of the changes that God wants to see, well, they may take some time. Maybe you've seen some wonderful and quick growth in your life already. That's fabulous. But like a garden, most of the growth is likely going to take some time. I also want to remind you that back in the original version of this, when Jesus sent out the 12 and the 72, he sent out newbies, absolute novices. They didn't know what they didn't know. He didn't send out people who had it all figured out, people who had it all together. He took these new apprentices and gave them a meaningful task. He sent them out on a mission before they had passed all the exams, before they had proven that they knew all the answers. He trusted them, and he trusted God to work through them. That's significant for us because the same is true of us. So let's hit pause right here. Take just a moment to ask God where he'd like to work in our hearts. God, is there any particular area that you want to continue to shape? Is there anything in us that you want to work on today? What do you need to do in us so that we can be a breath of fresh air this week? Okay, so the second truth that I want to point out might be a little more obvious, at least I think so. If you're going to be a breath of fresh air, you've got to be around people who need fresh air. You've got to be with those who need help and hope. And that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, two quick things about this idea. One you're going to like, and the second one might be tough to handle when it drops for you. First of all, this is the easy one. We come from a long line of fresh air people. Way back in the beginning of things, in the early days of man's interaction with God, in the book of Genesis, the first part of the Bible, it tells us that God made a covenant with a man named Abraham. He told Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation and that all people would be blessed through him. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing to others, a breath of fresh air. It's where it starts. In the New Testament, we read about people like Timothy. Paul told the Philippian church that he didn't have anybody else in his whole world like Timothy, because Timothy was absolutely concerned and committed to the well-being of the church in Philippi. Maybe you've heard of a man called Barnabas. And I say called because his name wasn't Barnabas. His real name was Joseph. But they literally called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, according to Acts chapter 4. Barnabas was Paul's first ministry partner. He served as a mentor for Paul as Paul began to grow into who God called him to be. And if you watch Paul's life, you see a change. He becomes a breath of fresh air. You and I come from a long line of blessers and encouragers. And as we walk through life as apprentices of Jesus, we should expect to see those same kind of traits show up in our lives as we spend time with people who need to be blessed and encouraged. So that's the easy part. Here's the second bit. People who need a breath of fresh air can often require extra grace. They're not always the easiest people to be around. You maybe even heard them described as EGR, extra grace required. EGR people can drain the breath out of you. They can take your air. And you've probably experienced this in your life. Maybe you're even seeing a face or remembering an encounter you had with someone. We all have EGR people in our lives. And if you're thinking, Stace, I don't think I know any EGR people. Well, maybe you are the... No, I'm just kidding. But you see, this is why we have to be filled up every day. This is why we need to go to God every day. When we rub shoulders with the folks who need our air, our hope, our light, our love, we can find ourselves wearing thin. Jesus felt that too. That's why he regularly withdrew from the crowds. He got away from the needs and the noise, and he spent time with his Father to be refreshed, to be replenished, to be refilled. That's why you and I have to do that too. The bottom line is that we live in a world full of needy people. And most of them, even if they know they have needs, they don't really know where to turn to have those needs met. I think that's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 5. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're the love of God. Those things, salt and light and love, they're only obvious because we're living in situations and rubbing shoulders with folks who need the flavor, people who need the light, people who need the love that we've been given. See, being a breath of fresh air is the work of the kingdom. So let's hit pause for just a minute here. And think about the people that God's put in your life. Who do you know who needs a word of encouragement, a pick-me-up, a breath of fresh air? It might be the people that you've been praying for, the people on your hashtag, your Pray for 8 card. It might be the same person who needed you last week and the week before that and the week before that. It might be someone completely new, a new friend that God's dropped in your life. It might even be somebody that you don't like. I want you to take a minute and ask God who He's putting in your path this week and how you can be a breath of fresh air for them. Maybe write their name down. This is where the rubber meets the road. I think we would all agree that we have areas in our lives that we need the Lord to work on, to transform, internal things, that track of being. And most of us are aware that there are needy people all around us. But it's another thing completely to be willing to give away what I have. If you're going to be a breath of fresh air for someone, you give them what you have. This is the track of doing. Let's take a look at what Jesus told his apprentices in Luke chapter 6. In verse 40, Jesus says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that's in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite," Jesus says. "First, take the log out of your own eye. Then you'll see clearly to take out the speck that's in your brother's eye." Jesus goes on and says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit." You've heard that before, right? "Figs are not gathered from thorn bushes. Grapes aren't picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of his good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Let's talk about that for just a minute. Did you notice what Jesus says about the relationship between the student and the teacher? Says that eventually every fully trained person looks like his teacher. It's the beginning of Little League season here in central Pennsylvania, finally. It means a couple of things. Number one, it means we got a lot of rain coming. But number two, and the more important thing, is it means that I have a fresh batch of students, little baseball players who are looking to me to teach them how to catch and throw and hit. And I'm going to teach them to do it the way that I do it. When they get it right, they'll do it like I do it. And that principle plays out no matter what you're talking about, whether it's car repair or sewing or farming or hunting or baking, or the list goes on and on. And we may eventually tweak the things that we've learned, finding our own way once we've seen a way. But when we're being trained, we learn to do it like we've been taught by the teacher. That's what Jesus says. And maybe you've heard this idea before, but I want to point out how Luke describes Jesus. Luke was a doctor who traveled with Paul in the first century, spreading the gospel, teaching people how to follow Jesus. Listen to how Luke describes Jesus in Acts 10. He says, "You know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Anointed, filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good. He healed people, everyone who was oppressed by the devil. Does that sound familiar? Jesus told his apprentices later, he said, "Stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you. Then go." He sent them out to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to proclaim the coming of the kingdom. He sent them out to do the things that he did. He taught them how to be like him and how to do like him. There are those two tracks again, the track of being and doing. Jesus was a breath of fresh air, and he sent his apprentices out to be a fresh a breath of fresh air. Now, looking back at Luke 6, I want you to see how this passage reinforces what we've been talking about, because it starts with the internal work. First, the plank has to come out of my eye before I can do anything. I've got to be humble, because the Lord always has to work in me before he can work through me. But once he does, or as he is working, there's this invitation to join him where he's at work. Because God has breathed his life into me, I can be a breath of fresh air for others. Jesus says that every good tree bears good fruit. He says that the same thing is true for hearts. When God does his work in us, there's good that'll show up. The early apprentices of Jesus, boy, they got it. They embraced this way of living. And we see the proof played out as you read through the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, it talks about the way that they gave to the people around them. Their lives had been changed by God, and they turned it around and began to live to be a blessing, to be a breath of fresh air for the people around them. This way of living changed the spiritual climate in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and it's made its way all around the world. These are the seeds that are bearing fruit for the kingdom today. This is why you hear Dan challenging us to breathe deeply, to pray for opportunities, to be interruptible. This is why you hear us talking about living on mission with Jesus, why we spend so much time talking about the idea that each one of us has a front yard mission. God has called us to be a breath of fresh air for the folks who live, work, study, and play around us. This is why we talk about taking a risk for the kingdom, for the mission, about putting yourself out there in your neighborhood, in the lives of your friends. This is what Jesus means when he says that we are to let our light shine before others so that they see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. Being a missionary, whether it's in your front yard or your fantasy football league, your dorm or your driveway, your office or your affinity group, living on mission is being a breath of fresh air. So we pray first, and we keep on praying, asking the Lord to bless our friends and neighbors, asking him to make himself known to them, to draw them to life. And we look for opportunities to love and serve the people that we're doing life with, the people that he puts in our path. We keep our eyes peeled for those folks who need a breath of fresh air, who need the life that we've been given. And we invite often. We invite them into our lives, into our presence, into our hope. And I think a lot of times that's going to look like an invitation into our homes, into our day-to-day, into our influence. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sends out the 12 to the places that he's going to go. And he told them that just like they had been given this life, this hope, this help, this air, just as this has been freely given to you, give it away. He says, freely you have received, freely give. In the Message translation, Eugene Peterson renders the phrase this way. You've been treated generously, so live generously. You get that, don't you? So let's take another moment to pray and ask God what we can do this week to live as we've been treated, to give what we've been given. God, what would it look like for others to be with us this week and think, you are such a breath of fresh air? In just a moment, the worship team is going to lead us in a song. As they do, I want to encourage you to worship and to keep listening for the voice of God to give you direction for this coming week.